Welcome to the Devotional Toddcast, hosted by Pastor Todd Walker and Crossroads Church in Littleton, New Hampshire.
The question. Here's my question tonight as we start our Toddcast. Did you ever have to sprint, literally sprint, for anything besides a race? Anyone have an answer to that question? Do you ever have to run, literally run, sprint for anything? Go ahead, Joel.
Away from the IRS.
Good answer. You got another one, Bonnie? You piggyback on that? Oh no. Oh boy.
I went and I reached down and I pulled the bumper.
Oh.
Not the bumper, the back part. And I stopped it.
Super grandma. Oh. Well, I know who I'm calling in a jam. Man, glad to know it, Bonnie. So you sprinted, you lifted. Real life Wonder Woman. Yeah. Man alive. Can we put you on the security team? Okay. The reason I bring this up is I saw a guy sprinting the other day. He was older than me, and I don't know what made him sprint. He was running towards something, but it wasn't on a track. It wasn't just running. What are you so angry about? He was sprinting, and I went through all these questions going, why is this man sprinting? Is he running from something? Is he in danger? It was sprinkling out. Does he really want to get away from the rain? I just had this like Rolodex of reasons in my head for why a man would be sprinting. And so I thought about my own conversation going, have I ever sprinted? And I have. I once sprinted off a golf course because there was a thunderstorm. So I sprinted because I was holding something metal. And I figured that wasn't going to go well if the lightning found me that day. I also once sprinted to find a restroom because I was about to throw up. And I was literally running into a truck stop to where the bathroom was, dead sprint, because I had only seconds to spare. So there is a purpose to that question. I'm going to call the Toddcast tonight offensive-minded teammates, okay? My first basketball game I ever played, I scored 23 points, including 7 three-pointers. I never made another three-pointer to the rest of the season. But I was a legend after game one. In fact, I scored so many points and shocked so many people that the next game they played against us, they had a strategy for defending me. The problem was that was a complete anomaly. I actually wasn't that good and didn't do well the rest of the season. But I like looking back on that memory because I like offense. I like offense. It's interesting the day that you learn that offense is better than defense. And I like offense. In fact, let me give you a couple examples. In college, I used to play a lot of defense when it came to dating. That's right. I often took the defensive approach to dating. I just told myself, don't make a fool of yourself. Don't say something stupid. Don't have a bad hair day, which I don't have to worry about anymore. Don't hang around with weird people. Don't let them see how much you're sweating. Don't admit you still live with your parents. My strategy for dating in college was defense, until I realized dating requires a little offense. Not in a creepy way, of course, but girls respect a guy with a plan. They respect guys who are leaders, guys who have confidence, guys who aggressively take the last slice of pizza. Like, chicks dig that, just trust me. And when I met Janine in 2008, I had two strategies available to me to woo Janine and get her to the place where she'd say yes to marry me. Number one, I could just try to do nothing stupid and hope she would just come up and say, will you marry me? Because I never see you do anything dumb. Or I could have a plan, I could lead, I could have confidence, and then I could ask her out for pizza and absolutely grab the last slice of pizza, because again, chicks dig that. And the first thing Janine noticed about me, according to her own testimony, you can fact check this, the first thing she noticed about me, besides my dashing good looks, my charm, and my debonair personality, where was I? Was my confidence. Ask Janine. She noticed my confidence. She says that. I was a man with a plan. I was a leader. I was a man who knew how to get a good amount of pizza. And she was attracted to that confidence. Now, in football, you guys, if anyone football fans, they use this phrase, at least in football, maybe other sports, defense wins championships. You ever heard that? Defense wins championships. Does anyone believe it in football? Maybe not. I don't believe it because I think you have to score in sports. I think that logic is a little flawed because I don't think anyone's ever scored 0 points and won anything. I think eventually you have to score in order to win. What's that?
Offense is the best defense.
Thank you, Jack. Offense is the best defense. Now, obviously, we need to score points in order to win. No one wants a low score in a sports game, right? High scores are what the game is about. High scores are exciting. And that kind of explains my golf game. High score and exciting. I get my full money's worth on that course. But when I'm watching sports, I like offense way more than defense. Anyone else? I like to see the ball go in the net. I like to see a lot of touchdowns, a lot of offense. I want to see my team get the ball and score. And I think you would agree with me, hopefully you would agree with me, that defense exists for offense. The point is offense. No one plays defense and then says, aha, we didn't let the team score. We must be the winners. No, you also need to score points in order to win. And that's also the way it is in Christianity. Defense is crucial in Christianity. I want you to hear me say that. We must avoid sin, we must resist the devil, and we must cast off the works of darkness. We learned about that on Sunday. But is that enough? Is not sinning the only reason we were placed on the earth? Or does God have something more profound for us to do, something that requires an offensive mindset? Now, for 21 years of my Christian experience, I was concerned primarily with playing defense. I was doing my best to not sin, at least egregiously. I figured as long as I trusted in Christ as my Savior and I tried hard not to sin, that I was a pretty good Christian. Sadly, I was tragically wrong because defense is not enough, is it? Ironically, without an offensive mindset, playing defense in the Christian life doesn't even work. Our enemy knows that we're going to eventually let a ball slip through the net by playing only defense. He knows that if we only try to play defense after so long, we will eventually get lazy, complacent, fatigued, or worn out. And then we'll eventually begin living in patterns of sin. No one can play defense all the time. This is why we are often commanded in the scriptures to go on the offense. I want to give you a biblical example of this from Romans chapter 12. You could turn there, you could just listen. Romans 12, verses 9 to 21. And I want you to notice the terms of offense as I read, okay? See how many you can count. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends upon you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing so you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, notice it, but overcome evil with good. Do you see the offense? It's woven throughout that passage. Our enemy does not need to attack us on all fronts in order to defeat us. He just has to get us to forget and neglect to go on the offense for accomplishing the will of God. Because the devil, he loves to play bully ball. That's his game. He loves to intimidate us. He loves to shame us. He loves to criticize us. He loves to manipulate us. He loves to make us feel insecure. He loves to get us to question our salvation. He loves to remind us of what we used to be. Because he knows the day that we stand up and go on the offense for Jesus is the day that his kingdom is in trouble. See, the devil has never been able to actually stand in our way. Did you know that? The devil cannot stand in our way as Christians. His only strategy is to lie to us enough that we start to believe we cannot go forward and cannot serve God. And it often works. It worked in my life. I listened to the lies that I could not go forward. And as soon as we try to only play defense against the enemy, that's the day that we begin to lose. The day that we realize that being offensively minded is the best way to serve Jesus, that's the day we begin making real progress against evil. And that's the day the kingdom of darkness begins to fade away. But there's one aspect of this that I think is going to take it to the entirely next level. I think we need to go on the offense together as teammates. God did not encourage us to go individually on offense. He encouraged the church to go on offense. This means that this is a corporate goal, a team goal. And going back to my sports analogy, doesn't sports teach us this? Besides a couple of exceptions like tennis and golf, sports is mostly a team game. Tom Brady, beloved Tom Brady, if you're a Patriots fan, he did not move the ball down the field on his own, as much glory as we give the man. The Patriots moved the ball down the field. Even Michael Jordan, if you remember Michael Jordan, he didn't win a championship until he got Scottie Pippen, until he got a good team around him. Now, you could just decide if I refer to myself as Tom Brady or Michael Jordan as your pastor. But the point remains tonight. Teammates working together on offense for obeying, for serving, for evangelizing, for praying, for loving, for glorifying God is what takes down the kingdom of darkness. It's what builds the kingdom of light. If we focus only on defense, or if we try to do this alone without the church, our efforts are going to be in vain and we'll accomplish nothing for God and nothing for righteousness. And I'm probably preaching to the choir here tonight because you're all at church on a Wednesday night. And you don't have to be, according to the culture. So I'm assuming you've already bought into this strategy. But I think it's time we let the entire North Country and even the devil himself know that from now on, Crossroads Church is one team under Jesus. And that we will be going forward together on offense towards obeying the will of God. Now, again, I want to encourage us all to continue to play defense, continue to fight sin, but just as the Easter season reminds us, as we're going to celebrate that on Sunday, let us arise every day as new people and walk out of those spiritual tombs that the devil tries to keep us in, and let us begin doing what God has called us to do as alive people. Because Jesus is King, and we are his privileged servants. Are we ready to advance together? Are we ready to take the hill with the gospel of Jesus together? Are we ready to make Satan backpedal with the battering ram of truth? Are we ready to start playing some bully ball ourselves and letting the evil know that from now on, we're on the winning team? Are we ready to glorify the name of our great God and proclaim the majesty of our Lord Jesus? Are we ready to shine the light upon the darkness while there's still time to do so? Together. Crossroads Church, let us go on the offense and let us do so together, and may King Jesus receive the full reward for his suffering on the cross, because he's worthy. Amen. Let's bow and pray and say as a prayer to the Lord tonight, Jesus, please help us. Help us see that we must stay offensively minded and do so together so we can accomplish your will and declare your great name to this dark world around us. We thank you for the powerful light of the gospel. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Devotional Toddcast. Join us for worship Sunday mornings beginning at 10:30. Learn more about us at crossroadsoflittleton.com. Crossroads Church, seeking to shine the light and love of Jesus in the heart of New England.